So let me ask you, who here has your Christmas shopping all done? Oh, you all make me sick. All right, well, we're talking about gifts today. I typically don't start Christmas shopping until January. We'll just leave it at that, yeah. We're talking about gifts, and specifically we're talking about the spiritual gifts. And before we get into the spiritual gifts, I feel like I have to take us back to where we've been, just in Romans 12, just where we were last week. Last week we talked about becoming a living sacrifice, And why would we want to be a living sacrifice? And what it says in Romans 12, verse 1, is because of God's mercies. In view of God's mercies, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. This is pleasing. This is our act of worship to the Lord. Because of all that he's done for us, in view of his mercies, we offer our lives in service to God. And then that leads to a very fundamental thing that we've got to hang out here for a little bit. How do we do this? How do we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice pleasing to God? Because of the mercies that we've experienced. How do we do this? And what it says in Romans 12, verse 2, not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So for us to truly take seriously this calling to be a living sacrifice, it begins with the renewing of our mind. And what we talked about last week was, that happens through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who renews our mind. Now, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it's so important to understand that has to happen. But where we're going today and in the next few weeks is, what does that look like? Talking about having a renewed mind, it's easy to talk about having a renewed mind, but what does a renewed mind do differently from our old minds? How does a renewed mind think? If this is what we need, what does it look like? How does a renewed mind think? And when you get into Romans 12 and Romans 12 and Romans 13, Romans 14, we get into a little bit of that. And we talk about, how the renewed mind thinks about itself and how a renewed mind thinks about the church and how a renewed mind thinks about our enemies. That should be timely, shouldn't it? And how a renewed mind thinks about authority in Romans 13. And once again, I think that's very timely because we live in a world that seems like we're becoming a world of anarchy. Everybody's rebelling against authority. So how's a renewed mind think about self? How's it think about the church? How's it think about our enemies? How does it think about authority? Now right now, let's begin with, how does a renewed mind think about ourselves? Romans 12, verse 3 says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So first of all, we got to do this on an individual level. The renewed mind on an individual level. And this is where a lot of us like to hang out. We just like to think about ourselves, right? Not so concerned about everybody else, but about me. It's about me, right? What does a renewed mind look like? And once again, I want to read this verse again. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think about yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself. So here's the command, think of yourself. So a renewed mind does spend some time thinking about yourself. That's weird, isn't it? Like, I thought we were supposed to die to ourselves. I thought, it's not supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be about others. And here the scripture is clearly telling us, you got to start with thinking about yourself. Think about yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So think about yourself. It says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? So we need to examine ourselves. We need to test ourselves. We need to evaluate ourselves. This is the first step of a renewed mind. If I'm serious about being a living sacrifice because of God's mercies, and I'm serious about not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by a renewed mind, this is the first step. Start with yourself. And it tells you, one extreme that you can go to, and then the other extreme I think is implied. One extreme, it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. So you got to stop right there. This is relevant for a lot of us. I mean, because pride seems to be the thing that brings us all down eventually. Because it's about me. It's about me, you know. And we get arrogant. We become proud. 2 Timothy 3 says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Is that not the culture we're living in right now? And we see it, I mean, yeah, we look around and like, yeah, everybody is just like full of themselves, lovers of themselves. Praise God, I'm not like them. And 1 Corinthians 12 says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Then I was thinking about this, if the toe thinks it's the head, your whole world is upside down, right? And so when you start thinking too highly of yourself, more highly than you ought, your world is going to be kind of chaotic. So that's one extreme. To be proud, to be self-centered, to be arrogant. That's one extreme. The flip side of that, what's the other extreme? Thinking too lowly of yourself. And that's not in this verse, but I'm thinking it's implied. I mean, the two extremes, you can think too highly of yourself or you can think too lowly of yourself. Because the world that we live in, you know, Satan has a way of just, I mean, he's good at what he does. And he beats you down. You're guilty. You know you're guilty. You know you're unworthy. You shouldn't even go to church. Why, you're not worthy to go to church. You're not worthy to be called a Christian. You're not worthy to find your place in the body of Christ. You're not worthy. So these are two extremes. We can be too proud, or we can be too, I don't know what it is, just the opposite of proud. I don't want to say too humble, because humble is good. But so beaten down by Satan and by the world and your own guilt, both those extremes are useless. And not what God wants. It says here, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. This is all I want to spend some time thinking about this. What does this mean? In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Let's measure your faith. What has God told you? What is it that you understand? What is it that has been made known to you? What is clear to you? And let's see how that applies to thinking about yourself. And once again, I would take you through a little review of Romans, just real quick. Romans very, very clearly teaches you're a sinner. Okay, start with that. You are a sinner. If you're arrogant, if you're proud, if you're thinking too highly of yourself than you ought, let me help you out. You are a sinner. And once you get that message, then we move to the next step. But you are saved. Praise God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of what he did on that cross, you are a sinner saved by grace. And the third thing that we see in the book of Romans, as we've studied the book of Romans, and you have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You are a sinner, but you're saved, and now you've been sanctified. And then we go on. Think about some other things that you know through studying the Word of God and other things you've learned in Sunday school, other things you've learned in church. You know that you are created in God's image, right? You are created in God's image. And you know that you have been filled with God's Spirit. This is a precious gift that God has given you. When you've become a believer, the Holy Spirit, this is a promise of the Holy Spirit to indwell inside of us. So we have been created in God's image. We have been filled with God's Spirit. And we are part of God's plan. So we're a sinner, saved, sanctified, but created in God's image, filled with God's Spirit, and a part of God's plan. This is the way that you need to think about yourself. If you're thinking too highly of yourself than you ought, go back to number one. You are a sinner. If you're thinking too poorly of yourself, you are creating God's image. How dare you think you're not worthy? You are a precious child in God's eyes. You are a precious creation. You are a work of art. As a believer, we need to understand we are loved by God. We are led by God. We are filled with God. So when we think about ourselves, the results, the conclusion here of just verse 3, the conclusion is, I am confident. I'm a child of God. I am confident. But I'm not conceited, because I know I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of this. Humble, but willing. So if your renewed mind has grasped that concept, you are a child of God, and you don't deserve his grace, You are humble because of because you know you are a sinner, but you are willing because you know God has called you. If you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind, and this is where you're at, then let's go on to two here. Let's start thinking collectively, together as a body of believers. It says in Romans 12, verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we got to start thinking individually. Now we think collectively. We think about the body. The renewed mind goes from thinking about itself to now how it is a part of the body at large, part of the body of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We're getting ready to talk about the gifts. Trust me on that one. But no reason to talk about the gifts until you understand the purpose of the gifts and how it's for the common good. It's for the body of Christ, for the body, for Jesus to be glorified. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It's about the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So whatever you are in Christ, you've got to think of it in terms of the body at large. What is your part in the body of Christ? To be a Christian is to be a part of his body, to be a part of the church, serving God, serving others as a living sacrifice. This is how we worship. This is what we give to God in view of the mercies that he's given us. So to think about the body, let me give you a few things here to think about. First of all, the body is purposeful. The church, and I'm talking about this church, I'm talking about the universal church, I'm talking about this church connected to all the other churches. This, you as a Christian, connected to the person next to you who's a Christian, connected to the person who's across the aisle who's a Christian, connected to the person who's across the street as a Christian, and the person across the Atlantic Ocean who's a Christian. We are all a part of the body, and the body has a purpose. What's the purpose of the body? Why do we exist? You got to think about this. The one verse I came up with, and I'll move on quickly, but one verse I came up with, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. We exist to declare his praises. Look at how great our God is. Now, you can do that as an individual, and hopefully somebody's going to pay attention. Hopefully somebody's going to listen. But we could do that collectively, and our voice is so much louder. And hopefully the world will hear us even better if we do this together, to declare his praises together, collectively. But that's our purpose. But another thing I want you to see about the body, it's diverse. It's diverse. It says in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. You look at the body of believers, and we don't all have the same function. We're all different. Some of us, some of us are the hands of Christ. Some of us are the feet of Christ. Some of us are the eyes of Christ. Some of us are the mouth. Some of us are the belly button. But you got it all. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. But it's diverse, and it's beautiful. When you look at all of us together, collectively, and how God has made each one of us as individuals special in our own unique way, but to come together in a diverse way, and you can think about this on so many levels, but this is just who God is. I was thinking earlier this week, I know I've said before about, you think about all the colors of the world. God didn't have to do that. He could have just made everything black and white. You think about all the fragrances of the world. You think about all the things that we can taste. And now I was just thinking about all the animals and how all the animals have different functions. And why did he get so creative, other than the fact he wanted to bless us with this beautiful world? And he didn't just stop with horses. He also made zebras. That just fascinates me. Why would he do that? It's just some cool stuff. And then you think about the body of Christ. And I just want to say, praise God he didn't make everybody like me. Don't you want to praise God that he didn't make everybody like me? Just shut up. But we're all, it's different. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different races. We come from different cultures, different colors, and we have different gifts. And yet we are all one functioning as one. And the third thing I would have you notice about the body of Christ is that we are attached to one another. Attached. Another word I came up with was unified. Unified to God. Attached to God. Attached to one another. Only because of Jesus Christ. We are attached in Christ. We belong to one another in Christ. We rejoice with one another in Christ. Our redemption is in Christ. We are justified in Christ. We have forgiveness of our sins in Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ. We have eternal life in Christ. Then we look around at our brothers and our sisters and say, hey, you've been redeemed? I've been redeemed too. That makes us, I'm a child of God, you're a child of God. That means, you know, we're brothers. We're family. We're family in Christ and only because of Christ. It says in verse 5, so in Christ, we are, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Christ is what we have in common. Christ is the glue that holds us together. Our awe of Jesus Christ, our devotion to Jesus Christ. See, if I take my eyes off of Jesus Christ, we start falling apart. If you take your eyes off Jesus Christ, we start falling apart. But if your eyes are on Jesus and my eyes are on Jesus, we're attached to one another. Sorry. We're united. We're the body of Christ. So we're purposeful, we're diverse, we're attached to one another, and we are gifted, is what it says in verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So Romans 12, just a couple of verses here, talks about these gifts, how we have these different gifts. And I remind you of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When you talk about the spiritual gifts, so a couple of things I would point out. One is when you think about the spiritual gifts, they are given to us by the Holy Spirit. But by the way, if you're not a Christian, this doesn't. I don't know if this applies because you haven't been given the Holy Spirit yet. I'm not sure that you have any of the spiritual gifts yet. A good reason to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior so you can get a gift. Wouldn't that be cool? But each one of us who belong to Jesus have been given at least one spiritual gift. Some of us multiple spiritual gifts. And the gifts were given for the common good. So the body of Christ may be built up, is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 12. And I would ask you, what is your gift? Do you know what your gift is? What has God given you? Do you know what it is? Do you care what your gift is? And are you using the gift? Are you using, now, you parents, can you imagine, you go out, you go shopping for little Junior, and you got, all these Christmas presents that you want to give him, and Christmas Day comes, and you're excited because you can't wait till Junior opens up, all the gifts and everything, and Christmas Day comes, and you can't get Junior out of bed, and, Junior just doesn't really care. He looks at the gift, and thanks, and he puts it aside. What does that do to you as a parent? I mean, it just breaks your heart, doesn't it? Makes you just want to go back to Walmart and take it all back. Do you think we might be guilty of treating God like that? God has blessed us with these gifts, and we don't care. We're not using them. That's a shame. That's a shame because he's given them to us to build up the body of Christ. There's a purpose behind them. And I would tell you a couple other things. When you think about the gifts, I do not think, when you look at Romans 12 and you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and a couple other places in the Bible, I don't see it as being an exhaustive list. There's there's things on there like being a teacher and being somebody, a prophet and somebody who has the gift of healing. I mean, you got all these different gifts. But I would think, with a little creativity, you can think there's a whole lot more gifts than that. I've always thought the gift that God gave me, and y'all might disagree with, but the gift of singing. I've been singing ever since I was a little kid. But singing is not listed as one of the gifts. So I'm thinking your gift might not be on here, but if it was given by God and you're giving it to God, then it's a spiritual gift. And another thing I would tell you, some of the gifts overlap with each other. Sometimes you see in the scriptures, the prophets were encouragers or are contributing people who were generous. That was a gift of mercy. So is it a gift of generosity, or is it the gift of mercy, or is it just it all gets mumbled jumbled here? Some of the gifts come in various degrees. Some come in various mixtures. And the thing that makes them spiritual is two things. One is it was given by the Holy Spirit. And secondly, you are giving it back to God, using it for God's glory. If you're not using it for God's glory, then I'm not sure it's a spiritual gift. It's just you have a natural talent. But if you're giving it to God's glory, then it's a spiritual gift. The gifts that are mentioned here, one is the gift of prophecy. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith, is what it says in Romans 12, was it verse 7? Verse 6, I don't know. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Does anybody here have the gift of prophesying? And what does that look like? And what does that mean? And does that word even scare you? The root of the word prophesying would be to make shine. So if you have the gift of prophesying, you are shining a light. You're shining the word of God in a dark world. That's what it is. Don't make it something that it's not meant to be. You're just proclaiming the word of God. I was very much thinking of Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we're proclaiming the word of God, we're shining a light in a dark world. So to me, the gift of prophesying is just proclaiming the word of God. I think it's what I do here every Sunday morning. I'm proclaiming the word of God. We call it a pastor. In my mind, you can technically call it being a prophet. But see, then you think it's telling the future, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm just proclaiming the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, eagerly desire the gifts, especially the gift of prophesying. So that's one gift. Another gift is the gift of serving. If your gift is serving, verse 7, if your gift is serving, let him serve. When you look at that, if you look at it in the Greek, from that we get the word deacon, or we get the word minister. Ephesians 4:12 says pastors are to equip the saints for works of service. My job is to equip you to become a minister, to become a servant. That's my job. And when you look at Ephesians 4:12, what I'm looking at here, all of us are called to be servants. All of us. Now some of us are gifted with the gift of being a servant. Some of us it's a little harder. You know, we got to try harder here. But we're all called to be servants. And this is an act of worship. It's an act of worship to serve. The third gift I see here is the gift of teaching. If your gift is teaching, let him teach. To teach is to impart knowledge and information, which is so, to me, so critically important in a world that has become biblically illiterate, where everybody thinks Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. No, that's, no. But that's our culture today, you know, which is weird and fascinating to me and depressing at the same time. When we live in the information age, we got Google, we can Google anything, and we don't know anything about the Word of God and the will of God. So we need teachers. We need people to develop the gift of teaching. And specifically, if you want to be a spiritual, you know, you can teach. You can go to school and teach 2 + 2, and that's wonderful. That's great. And you can teach the Word of God, and to me that makes it a spiritual gift then, when you're teaching the Word of God to people who need to know the Word of God. And we do this as an act of worship. The fourth gift listed is the gift of encouragement. Verse 8, if your gift is encouraging, then let him encourage. Anybody remember Barnabas in the Bible? Barnabas, his name means encouragement. He was the son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph, but nobody called him Joe. Everybody called him Barnabas because he was such an encourager. Barnabas was the type of guy, he'd put his arm around you and say, come on, we can do this. You're awesome. You're doing a great job. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Come on. But Barnabas was an encourager. I would ask you, are you an encourager? We need more encouragers. You know, the church, the body of Christ, needs people who encourage one another. And we are called to encourage one another. In Hebrews 3, verse 13, encourage one another. All Christians should be encouraging one another. Especially when you know that you live in a world where Satan beats everybody down. Well, you've been beaten down by Satan. The antidote, let's encourage each other. You know, stop listening to Satan. Let's start listening to Jesus. Come on, we can do this. We are all called to be encouragers. It's an act of worship to encourage one another. And some of us are very gifted in this. And some of us not so much. That's a shame. But let's be encouragers. The next gift, number 5, that's listed is the gift of contributing. The gift of generosity. If your gift is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. The Bible says you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on all occasions. And we often say here, you know, as Americans, we have been blessed. We have been so blessed. And how dare us become so stingy with all that God has blessed us with. Ephesians tells us to work with our hands so we will have something to share with one another. so we can bless each other. We are called to be a blessing. We have been blessed so that we can bless others. I look at it, you know, we are to be a conduit. As God pours his blessings on us, we pour those blessings on other people. And then we are blessed to do so. And then God gives us more blessings so that we can bless more people. That's how it works. Some of us are good at this. I mean, it's a gift. And some of us, we have to work hard at this. But we're all called to be a blessing to other people. So I would challenge us to maybe examine yourself. Is this your spiritual gift? Is it your gift to contribute to the needs of others, to give generously? Number six is the gift of leadership. If your gift is leadership, let him govern diligently. Not to lord it over other people, not to do it in a self-serving way, but to do it with a zeal for Jesus Christ and a desire to advance the gospel, a desire to save the lost. And so we're leading people for the common goal, to build up the body of Christ. And when I'm looking at this, I thought of Barnabas with the gift of encouragement. So who do you think of? Who's a leader? You can think of several people here. But when you think of leadership in the Bible, who's the leader that you think of? I picked one that's not on everybody's mind, but I picked Joseph. Joseph had the gift of administration in the Old Testament. The Old Testament Joseph, who was coat of many colors, sold as a slave to Potiphar, and then worked for Pharaoh. But Joseph had the ability to see what was getting ready to happen, and not only to see what was getting ready to happen, he knew what to do about it, and he saved. He saved all of Egypt because he was able to see. He had this gift. So I would ask you, can you see what is getting ready to happen in our culture? And do you know what to do about it? And if so, maybe you have this gift of leadership. We need more leaders. We need more leaders. Number seven is the gift of showing mercy. If your gift is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Bible says, blessed are the merciful, is what it says in Matthew 5 or 7. In Matthew 18, it talks about the parable of the unmerciful servant. If you remember that parable, the guy, he was forgiven all of his debt, but he wouldn't forgive somebody else their debt. And the master said, should you have not acted, have had mercy on your fellow servant? And when I look at that verse, I'm thinking all Christians are supposed to be merciful. We're all called to be merciful. This is an act of worship. This is what a living sacrifice does. We show mercy to people who need mercy because we have been given mercy. And some of us are good at it. Mother Teresa, she says, God has not called me to a ministry of success. He's called me to a ministry of mercy. That's very profound. You saw it in Mother Teresa's life, how she lived her life. She wanted to show compassion to people that the rest of the world forgot about. You know, there's not much money in doing something like that. But I can't help but think Mother Teresa was very blessed by God. So I would challenge you to find your gift. Well, you know, I just gave you a list of seven examples. There's so many more. But my challenge for you is to find your gift. And how do you do that? You devote yourself to seeking God as an act of worship, to be a living sacrifice. And you serve him out of, not because you have to, but out of a grateful heart, because you know all that he's done for you. And you desire to bless other people. And when all these things come together, then you will discover how God wired you, why God made you the way that he made you, what your part in the body of believers is. You'll discover that. John Piper, he says, our true individuality, I think this is so profound, our true individuality is found or discovered or experienced in relationship to the body of Christ. See, you want to go find yourself? You want to figure out yourself? Well, get connected to the body of Christ, and then you will discover what God made you for. But you know, just if you're detached from the body of believers, if you're detached from the body of Christ, then you're going to be aimlessly trying to figure out who you are, and you're never going to figure it out. But when you attach yourself to the body, and you're doing this because you want to bring glory to God and you want to bless other people, then you will figure out what God made you for. He goes on, he says, our true individuality cannot be known except in serving others as we rely on Christ. Your individuality, who you are, you can't discover that unless you're in the body of Christ serving other people. He says, love other people with all your heart in reliance on Christ, and you will discover who you are, who you were meant to be. Some great organizations have grown grown out of a single person exercising their gift. Just one, in one person, they want to bring glory to God. They want to bless other people. And through that, great things come about. Great things happen. Now, I wrote down just a few things I've seen here in our church. I see Melanie Henderson with Angel Wings, and what a beautiful ministry that is. And I was thinking of Dan Browse with the Repair Friend and Repair Fair, and the great things that's happened there. And Jim Rogers with Way of the Master. And when I think of Doug, and I think about the softball field back here, and I think my wife and the homeschooling co-op that happens here on Tuesdays. And you got the Ronald McDonald House, we've had the Somali Bantu. One of the neatest ministries I remember being a part of, 20 years ago, was a Hispanic ministry in our church. This is another church, but had a guy who was interpreting my sermons for people who spoke Spanish, and it grew. 20, 30 people were coming and looking at me like they didn't have a clue what I was saying, but they'd look at Jose, and Jose would say, "This is what Pete means," and it was an awesome ministry. It was a beautiful thing. So what is your gift? What is your part in the body of believers? Your part in the body of Christ. So the back page here, examine yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. But examine yourself. Who are you? Just a couple questions here. Who are you? And I would ask you, remember, you are a child of God. That in itself, you can stop right there and just spend the rest of the day thinking about that and the ramifications of that. And that should bring you to your knees right there. You are a child of God, equipped by God, by His Holy Spirit, gifted by God. You have special abilities that I don't have. Praise God that He's made each one of us different. Praise God for the diversity within our body right here, our local body. So who are you? You got to figure that out. And then the second question, what are you doing? What are you doing? Be what God made you to be. At church, at home, at work, in the community. Use your special God-given gift for His glory. Here at Lanesville Christian Church, we could use more servers. We could use more teachers. We could use more encouragers. We could use more contributors. We could use more leaders. More people who are proclaiming the word of God, more people who are doing the will of God by going after the lost and going after the sick and going after the helpless and going after the fatherless, going after the hurting. 2 Timothy, Paul says this, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline." And let me just close with this thought that, here the Christmas season, and remember the Magi that came from the East? They came from the East searching for Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they bowed down and they worshiped. And then they presented Him with their gifts, their gold, their frankincense, their myrrh. They traveled over 600 miles to give to God what God had given them to give. Let them be an example to us. You might not have any gold to present to Jesus. You might not have any frankincense or myrrh. I don't know what you have to give. But God has given you something to give. And what a blessing that is to give it back to God.
Lead me to you.